How many of y'all like the fall? You guys like going from summer to fall? I just realized this the other day, that summer is done. It was actually done on the 21st. The 21st was the end of summer, and we are in the season of fall. It hasn't felt that way. I mean, it's still in the 70s. That's fantastic, right? This whole next week is supposed to be in the 70s yet. It actually might get to 80, like Tuesday or Wednesday. So that's kind of nice. I kind of like that slow transition here. But it is still a transition. Sam and I, my oldest boy, Sam, we went up to our farm up in Surrey yesterday, and there's a few trees that have changed color. All right, so that's telling us that things are changing, right? Things are transitioning. And just like seasons change and seasons move from growth to harvest, you know, our lives change. Sometimes they're changed unexpectedly through tragedy or through a loss of a job or an injury that we might experience. But sometimes the changes in our lives occur like the seasons change. You know, especially as parents, you go from the baby stage to the toddler stage. My sister Candace has moved from North Carolina up to Green Bay, I think two weeks ago. And they have a two-year-old and an eight-month-old or nine-month-old. And their two-year-old at toddler stage, you know, everything that is within hand's reach, right? It's down, it's on the ground, and I don't know, it's broken. And so when they came over the other day, we had to be very conscious about what we were leaving down. So we were putting stuff up. But he is a tornado. He just comes in and he just throws stuff everywhere. And he's all over the place and he's running and he's asking and he's trying to climb up the slide. It's kind of fun, you know, when you think back to when your kids were younger and they try to climb up the slide and they take a nosedive and they slide all the way back down, you know, and then they try to go back up again. But sooner or later, he's going to become a boy, you know, and then a teenager, you know, and then someday a man. And so those changes, as parents, we can expect those kind of changes to occur in our lives. Amen? You know what I'm saying? And so when you look at that, there's things that you can expect and things that you can prepare yourself for. Now, you can't stop those changes from occurring, okay? But we can learn how to handle them. We can learn how to even desire those kinds of changes. I've heard a lot of parents with teenagers desiring some change to occur when the kids are out of the house and they can go about their business again and relax a little bit. Don't have to worry about the kids coming home at midnight, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. Has that ever happened to you, Paul? The kids come home at midnight? Now, when it comes to desiring change, okay, I've learned how to do this. I've learned how to work on this in my life. When we go through transitions, when we go through seasons of change, to allow God to take that situation and make it into something that can glorify his name, to be able to trust in him. When you look at Jabez saw the direction that his life was going and he saw what his name meant. You know, he didn't want to be known as the person who caused pain, right? He didn't want to be known as that. And so he cried out to God and he asked God to change him. Now, when we pray to God and when we ask God for change in our lives, we have to be willing and able to accept what change comes, right? You probably have heard of, if you've heard of this before, but be careful what you pray for because it's probably going to happen. If you pray for peace, God's going to give you opportunities to exercise peace or patience in your life. Some of the craziest transitions that have happened in my life have occurred in relationships, through relationships. You know, like the Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another. And recently, I've had a lot of relationship change occurring. I'm president of the board at our Sons Academy, and there's a lot of unique personalities, a lot of strong personalities on the board that we have there. And just going through that transition of just one of the guys kind of sitting in the back, you know, just kind of making some decisions, to the person who's now kind of in charge of orchestrating that process, I've had to embrace that. I've had to desire that kind of change in those kind of situations that I face. And just like James in James chapter 1 talks about going through different trials, it's almost exciting to a certain extent to have this kind of change occurring. Okay? Now, how many of you guys enjoy being in conflict? You guys really like conflict. Whether it's in marriage or whether it's with you and your kids or whether it's with you and other people. Not very many people enjoy that type of conflict. Everybody wants to be peaceful, right? You want to get along. Everybody wants that, you know? But rarely does that happen, right? There's always something that's going on. We have in preparation for our open house today, we were cleaning yesterday, and my wife and I got into a little conflict about who was supposed to be cleaning what, maybe, and if I was really, really working as hard as I could have been. And every once in a while, you know, you just get distracted by the football game. I don't know about the rest of the guys in here. That might happen every once in a while. Or what the kids are doing, or what's happening outside. And so I can get easily distracted. And so that led to a little conflict between Steph and I. But afterwards, we made up. And that was great. Right? That was a good thing. In all my relationships, the ones that have started out in the most conflict have actually become some of the greatest blessings in my life. Have you guys ever experienced that? Have you ever had that before where you just rubbed somebody the wrong way or they rubbed you the wrong way? But as you guys worked it out, it became one of the most blessed friendships or relationships that you've ever encountered. At a men's conference down in Whitehorse, they talked about this idea of where relationships kind of chafe you at times. And this isn't by accident. This is on purpose. And the guy who was preaching, he explained it like this. He said, if you are a pretty tough individual, if you're, you know, feel like you're a pretty strong personality, God will bring someone even stronger than you into your life on purpose to help mold and shape you. And so transition and conflict is necessary. But when we face transition and we face different changes in our lives, I think our attitude means everything, right? The attitude that we have will either bring resolution to the conflict that we are facing and bring glory to God, or it will just make things prolong and become absolutely miserable. When my kids have homework to do and they have a really bad attitude, man, it seems like it takes them forever to get it done. They'll come out and they'll think of every excuse under the sun not to get it done or do it or work on it. You know, they have a headache or they're thirsty or they're hungry or it's just too hard. Just too hard, Daddy. It's just too hard. And so we talk to them and we talk about their attitudes. And so they're working on that. And it's interesting, when they come home with a good attitude, they get it done like that. Have you guys noticed that in your own lives? When we go to work, you know, I got another meeting or I've got to get this paperwork in by 5 o'clock and it's just dragging. Our attitude means everything when it comes to transition and when it comes to change. Now, we as individuals need change in our lives. We need change to occur. Nothing in nature, nothing in the natural world stays exactly the same, right? I mean, even rock formations change because of weather and rain and wind, you know? I don't know if you guys like to go fishing. I know some of the guys like to go fishing over here. But even when you go to your favorite lake, and I hate this, you know, personally, I just really don't like this. I go to my favorite lake up north, and I go to the exact same spot where I caught all the fish last year, but the weed beds have changed, and I don't know, something's happened. And now you got to find a new favorite spot. I'm like, why can't it just be simple, right? Every time you go there, you catch your limit. But in the natural world, things are constantly changing, constantly going through a transition process. And even as people, we have to be able to see that and understand that it's going to happen to us. Jabez wanted change, and he knew that he needed something to change in his life. If we resist change in our lives, and if we try to stop it from happening, okay, it's like, you know, if you can imagine a toddler staying a toddler for his whole life, okay, that wouldn't be natural, right? That wouldn't be normal. Would it even be healthy? It wouldn't be healthy either, would it? Okay, you don't see a 30-year-old toddler running around usually. Not usually. And if you do, it's not normal. There's usually something behind that. And so Jabez recognized the need for change in his life. He didn't want to be known as an individual who caused pain. He wanted to be known for something different. He wanted positive change to occur. Now, how many of you guys know that you can't change yourself? Have you guys tried? Okay. All right, a zebra can't change its stripes, right? A zebra can't change its stripes. It can't change itself. And when you look at the Word of God, you know, people have tried to do this over the centuries. People have always tried to change or enact change in their lives, you know, with their own strength. Think about Moses. You know, the toddlers are learning about Moses today. Max has watched the movie about Moses, I think, 5 times in the last few days. And so I had a lot of Moses recently. Now, Moses had a calling on his life. You know, he was set aside and set apart by God. He was raised in Pharaoh's court. He was given everything that they needed, the best education, the best food, the best training. And yet when he tried to change the situation of the Israelites, it led to pain, it led to suffering, and it led him to be cast out into the wilderness for 40 years. He spent 40 years herding sheep, right, because he tried to do it in his own strength. But when he discovered the power of God, and when God met him in the desert, God revealed to him his ability to enact change. Okay, so when it comes to change, and when it comes to going through transitions, we need to look to the one with whom all things are possible. Amen? Okay? With man, these things are impossible to do, but with God, all things are possible. All things are possible for us to go through. All things are possible for us to grow from. And so Jabez cried out to God to change his destiny in the direction of his life. He didn't want to be known as the man who caused pain. He wanted a new destiny, a new direction. Now, when Jabez cried out to the Lord, he didn't just say a little prayer, you know, it's the Lord, please change me. He cried out to God. And that's something that we as Christians really need to grasp a hold of, that we need to cry out before the God who can change heaven and earth. Amen? When we see something in our lives, it's not just enough to recognize that change is necessary or change is needed. We need to go to the one who can make change possible in us. It is so difficult for us to do anything on our own strength. How many of you guys ever tried to do anything in your own strength when it comes to spiritual aspects? You know, trying to force somebody to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. right? You can't force someone to know Jesus Christ. You can't force your neighbor to change. You can't force your spouse or you force your kids to do what is right. Only God can do that. Only God can enact that type of change in someone's life. And so Jabez cried out to God, and we as Christians need to get a hold of this concept where we cry out to the Lord to seek his face. Right? Amen? How many of you guys ever tried doing that? Anybody got some testimonies out there? All right. Y'all can get a little excited. You know, it's not quite 11 o'clock. The Packers aren't even playing today. Come on. I think that's why Jimmy allowed me to preach, because he knows I'm long-winded. We'll be here all day. I'm just teasing. All right? God is good. One of the aspects of this process, when you cry out to the Lord, you have to, number one, you have to believe that God is going to hear you, right? Hebrews chapter 12, it says, when we cry out to God, we have to believe that not only does he exist, but that he answers our prayers. Amen? And when we cry out to the Lord, we have to believe that he's going to hear us. And sometimes we wait too long, right? How many of you guys have waited a long time to cry out to God, and your situation just continues to get worse, continues to manifest itself, continues to become a problem, not only for you, but for those around you? Amen? I mean, you may have experienced that. You may have known people that have gone through that process. But when we cry out to God, we have to believe. We have to stand on the word. We have to believe by faith that God is going to hear our prayers. Amen. Next thing that we have to be willing to do is be unafraid of the results. You can't be afraid of the results of your prayers, because if you are, then you're really not willing to receive all that God has for you. How many of you guys have prayed, but then you're like, okay, what's this going to look like? You know? I mean, sometimes we all do that. We're like, we want to see change, but then we're very afraid of what that change is going to look like in our lives. Does that make sense to you guys? You know, we all pray. You know, as a young man, I prayed for a wife. Asked God to bring me a wife. Then I'm like, okay, what's that going to look like? God knew exactly what I needed. He brought me a wonderful and beautiful wife. But even with our kids, you know, with Sam and Max, we're praying for their future wives someday. You know, what is that going to look like? You know, when is that going to happen? Hopefully when they're in college or established in some way. All right. But when we pray and we ask God to change us, so often we're afraid that we're not going to be even remotely the same, right? Oh, you know, if we give our lives to Jesus Christ, what's that going to look like? We're going to have to give up golfing. Or whatever makes us happy, we're going to have to give up. No, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that at all. We may have to reprioritize things. But when we ask Jesus into our lives and we ask God to make some changes, we have to be unafraid of what those changes are going to be. When you think of Moses again, Moses was a prince of Egypt. And when he tried to make change, he became a shepherd for 40 years. And then when God changed his life, when God came in, and when God made change, you know, Moses wasn't necessarily willing to accept it either, was he? He pleaded with God. He actually argued with God. It's like, Lord, I really don't know if I can go to Pharaoh and talk to Pharaoh. I'm not a good articulator, right? Sometimes it's difficult when God asks you to do something or when God enacts some change. We have to be willing to receive what he has for us. I know for many years, I knew that God had called me to be a pastor for many years, but for many years I just didn't want to do that because I didn't know what it was going to look like. I was afraid of what was going to happen to me, or was afraid of, you know, what kind of changes that was going to bring. And so I was miserable for years until finally I said, Lord, you know, whatever that's going to look like, whatever that's going to happen, you know, let it be. Let it work out. And I've experienced a lot more peace in my life, a lot more confidence in what God has called me to be and called me to do. And so you can't be afraid of the results of your prayers. You have to be willing to accept the outcome. See, Jabez trusted God with the outcome, and he believed that God gives good things to those who ask. Now, so often, the way that we perceive God's gifts kind of dictates whether or not we're willing to accept them. God's been teaching me about this concept of perception a lot lately. If we perceive someone's intentions to be hostile or someone's intentions to be antagonistic, how do we usually react? We usually act defensive, right? We usually get our guard up. We don't want to hear anything they have to say, right? And when you're working with a bunch of men, as I do on the board of our son's academy, perception can change the outcome of a discussion. It can change the outcome of whether you receive anything that another person is saying, or if you try and reject everything because you think they're being hostile or being selfish or being self-centered. And so we need to change our perception based on the Word of God. And it says that God gives good things to those who ask, right? So when you ask for change in your life, or if you're seeking God through change, He's not going to leave us lacking. He's not going to leave us with a bunch of mess to pick up or clean up afterwards. He's going to give us good things. Amen? All right. Now, let's look at this perception thing. All right, so I've got a couple of, this is for the kids. We had some kids in here because they're, all right, this is the fourth Sunday, so it's kind of a family service. All right, so which one of these looks really good? I kind of like the red one. Kind of like the red. I like red. Anybody else like red? You like red? Yeah. All right, Josh, why don't you want that? That's pretty. You know, go ahead, open, you know, look inside. Is there anything good in there? You can tear it. We don't want the bag back anyway. Rip it out there. That's right, man. Go for it. Is there anything good in there? Not much. Anything? Just a piece of cardboard. That's pretty good. There you go. All right. You got a piece of cardboard. That was a blessing, right? You feel blessed? All right, who wants the other one? Now, if that was your experience in the past, how many of you really want to open the next one? You understand what I'm saying? You guys, especially, I mean, we learn this as a young age, right? You know, when we were kids, we kind of learn what to expect based on our experiences and based on what we go through. Gabe, come on up here. All right. Are you willing to open it up, even though there might just be cardboard in? All right. Look at that. Woohoo! Look at that. Is that okay? Is that better than cardboard? All right, you can keep that. All right, put it in your pocket. You got to make sure you tithe. All right. So Gabe was willing to take a risk. He was willing to take a chance, even though the initial experience wasn't so good. Thank you very much, Joshua. All right. Thank you very much for that. But we have to be willing to go through some disappointments at times. We have to get past those kind of perceptions to see that God gives good things to those who ask. Now, our perception will either make us resistant to what God wants to do in our lives, or make us ready for what God wants to do in our lives. How many of you guys want to be ready for what God has for us? Amen? We want to be ready for what God has for us. Now, church is full of people who say they want change, but are really, really unwilling to accept it, unwilling to receive it. And much of it, is based on a wrong perception of change. Now, the next thing that we want to learn from Jabez is not only did he recognize that he wanted change in his life and that he went to the God who can change things, the God who can redefine our destinies, the one who can give us a future filled with hope. Not only did he do that, but he also recognized that if God was going to bless him, he wanted to become a blessing. All right? So not only will God bless you when you cry out to him, but he will make you a blessing. Okay? He had a testimony to share. So when Jabez was changed by God, and when God answered his prayers, he also asked God that he would increase his tent or increase his territory. Okay? When God places his hand upon you and when God touches your life, it's not just for you to hide. It's not just for you to hide. It's not for you to just, you know, bury it under the ground and just kind of look at it every once in a while. Or put it in your closet and get it out every time you want to reminisce a little bit. Now, when I shoot my 20-point buck this year, I'm not going to just hide that huge, gigantic rack. I'm going to put it right in the middle of our living room. I can say that because my wife's in the toddler room today. I want to display it, right? I want to show it off. I want to let everybody see what God has done. What be a little jealous. That's okay. If you guys want to be a little jealous, that's fine. All right. But when Jabez asked God to bless him, he also asked God to give him influence. To give him influence and to increase his tent, increase his area, so that he could share it. Does that make sense to you guys? Okay. Not only did he want to be blessed, but he wanted to become a blessing. And that's so important as Christians. We live in a society that tells you to keep everything that you have, right? Live life to the fullest. Go to the casino and spend it all, or buy a big fast car, live off your credit cards, you know? And yet, the Bible instructs us that when we are blessed, we need to be willing to become a blessing, be willing to share what God has given to us. Because that in itself is a true sign of our character, a true sign of what God has done. Amen? And so when Jabez asked God to bless him, he also asked God to make him into a blessing, to become a testimony. He wanted to become a source that others could look to. And that's why Jesus Christ, when he was here on the earth, told his disciples that you guys are going to become a city on the hill. Right? A city on the hill. A city cannot be hidden. That you are supposed to become salt and light so that when you rub on other people, that they get a little taste of what God is like. Amen? And so as Christians, we can't be afraid of the blessing. We have to be willing to stand out in the crowd. We got to be willing to be radically changed for God. So many times, we try and hold on to the past. How many of you guys have ever tried to hold on to your past? You know? Hold on to the way things used to be. All right, see, you talk to many individuals and they still see you as the person that they used to see, right? All right, that's why I've never gone to a high school reunion. I don't know if you guys have ever gone to a high school reunion. I've never gone to a high school reunion because I don't really want to be around those individuals. Not that they haven't changed, but it's because I don't necessarily want to be, you know, I don't want to bring up the past. I just want to sit there and reminisce. Oh, you remember how good it was in high school? Well, it may have been really good in high school, but I'm not that man anymore. I don't want to sit there and think about the things that we did when we were younger. You know, that part of my life and in college, I wasn't serving the Lord. So why do I really want to go back and kind of dig all that stuff up again? You know what I'm saying? You know? I may be a little weird in that aspect, but I am a little weird. And you all know that about me. When God changes us, we have to be willing to stand out. If we compare ourselves to society, if we measure ourselves by the world's standards, okay, we're going to end like it, right? We're going to end like it. And if you've read the Bible, you know that this world isn't going to last. The things of this world they're not going to last. These things are temporary, right? Sooner or later, Jesus Christ is going to come back, and he's going to put all of this stuff under his feet, and it's not going to be the same. He's going to change everything. So often, even as a church, we look at ourselves and we say, well, you know, we're better than the world, but not by much. You know what I'm saying? And so if society is going downhill, and we're just a little bit better than the world, we're still going downhill with it. Does that make sense? Are you guys with me on that one? And so we can't compare ourselves to the world, because sooner or later, it's going to drag us down. We're going to say, if the world's way down here, we're not going to be that much forward. We're still heading in the wrong direction. We have to measure ourselves by the Word of God. We have to measure ourselves by God's example. And we've got to compare ourselves to this. How is our life measuring up to this? Not the guy down the street. You know, he may be a good person on the outside, but who knows what's going on in the inside? Who knows what his hidden life is like, right? And so we have to measure ourselves by God's standard. I have a young man I'm ministering to at NWTC. He's a nice kid. He was in my wife's class in psychology, and I've met him in the gym. And so I see him, I kind of make a point of, if I see him, I try and talk to him as much as I can. And he's a really nice young man. And I shared the gospel with him last week and talked to him the importance of having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he's into mixed martial arts. And so he's actually getting into, he's getting into fights, but he's getting into competitions. All right, and then he's saying he's having fights. And his testimony was that mixed martial arts had saved him. You know, getting into that kind of situation and finding, you know, discipline and just the inner strength, I guess you could say, that he gets from mixed martial arts is what he feels has kind of changed the direction of his life. But sooner or later, you know, what happens if he gets hurt and he can't do it anymore? You know? What happens when he gets a little bit older and, you know, things don't work the way they used to when you're 20 or 21? Where is he going to find his support? Where is he going to find his discipline? Where is he going to find that ability to live out his life if he can't do something like that? See, when God changes you, it's not just for a short amount of time. It's not just when we're young, right? Amen? Okay, when God changes you, he does it for the everlasting. He does it for the long haul. And this is why Jabez kind of wrapped things up when he cried out to God and said, Lord, please place your hand upon me. Because Jabez didn't want temporary change. He didn't want to be a fly-by-night individual. He didn't want to have this incredible high when he first came to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and then all of a sudden the next week he's all crashed down and doing the same thing he did last week or the month ago or a year ago. He wanted change everlasting. And so he asked God to place his hand upon him. When God does something in our lives, it isn't meant to be a one-shot deal. That's why when Jesus Christ died, he died once for all. Amen? He died once for all individuals, and he died once for all sin. When he died on that cross, he said, it is finished. He said, it is finished. And what he did was for everlasting results. And so when God sets us free, we are free indeed. Amen? Now, every once in a while, though, we do get a little run down, right? You feel a little weak. You'll feel a little run at the end of your tank. And this is one of those weeks. It's like Jimmy said, right? It's one of those weeks. You guys have one of those weeks? I had one of those weeks this week as well. It was crazy how much stuff was going on this week. I don't know how many different meetings I had with individuals trying to work on relationships and work on conflict resolution. And some of it was just a drag, and some of it was pretty exciting. You know, I shared my testimony with a few different individuals at school, and so that's always exciting, right? You know, and that seems like it builds you up a little bit. But then you go through two or three meetings in a row where you're in conflict resolution and you're sending emails back and forth and you're texting each other, trying to get details worked out. And he said, she said, and I didn't mean to say that. And this is the way that it was taken. That stuff drains you, right? That stuff just, you get pulled apart. But God said that he would always be there with us. In Isaiah 41, first couple of verses there, it says, he will uphold us with his righteous right arm. So when Jabez called to God and asked God to place his hand upon him, it was to help him through those situations where he felt like he didn't have anything left in his tank. In Isaiah 40:31, it says, you know, God renews our strength like that of the eagles, right? And when you're in ministry and when you're living your life, there's a lot of things that are pulling on you, right? When you're a husband, your wife needs you. And when you have kids, your kids need you. And when you're working, your coworkers need you. All right? Your family, your extended family, they need you. And so you're constantly pouring out of what God has poured into you. And so that's why it's so important to stay connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, to stay connected with other believers, to stay connected with God in prayer, and to stay connected to God through his word. Man, I tell you, last night was tough. Just trying to get ready for today was so difficult. Man, I was on my face last night just praying that God would give me a clear word for today, something that would encourage and strengthen and bring comfort. And I felt like I just had nothing left. I had the big old headache, you know. Sometimes, I don't know if you guys ever had that happen when just before you're about to preach, you just get this big old headache. Or you get sick or something like that. And so I knew God had something good going on. And he was doing something awesome. Because when you go through that kind of conflict, go through that kind of transition, you know, God's got good things in store. But I felt like I just got done with a 5-hour workout. You know, it's just nothing left in the tank. And I cried out to God last night. I said, Lord, give me something. Help me to organize my thoughts today. And I feel like he heard my prayers. I felt renewed after that. Amen? You know, when you feel like you got nothing left, you cry out to God. And God will uphold you with his righteous right arm. He will renew our strength like that of the eagles. Just like he heard Jabez, he will hear your prayer. How many of you guys were at the men's conference last week? We had a men's conference down in Spencer Lake. All right, a lot of you guys. Some guys were here. All right. Did you guys have a good time? It was a good time. It was a good time. We were challenged as men, right? We were challenged to break free from our current situations, to look at our life and ask ourselves, do we need change, right? Do we need to change some things as a husband, as a father, as a brother or sister in the Lord? And so I'm here this morning to ask you, is there change that needs to occur in your life? Jabez recognized the need for change, and he cried out to God. And if we're looking at our lives right now, is there something that we have to change? Is there something that's necessary for us to either continue to grow closer to God or for us to overcome some of the challenges that we're facing in our lives? Do we need to change to become a better husband or a wife? Do we need to change, allow God to change us to become a better father or a better mother. When I look at my sons and I pray for them, that's one of the prayers that I say. I said, Lord, make me a better father. Make me a better father. Make me the father that they deserve to have. And when I pray for my wife, I said, Lord, make me the husband that she deserves to have. Not the one that I necessarily want to be, right? Because sometimes I don't necessarily want to be a good husband. Sometimes I don't want to be a good father. Sometimes I want to be a little selfish. But they deserve better, right? Our families deserve better. Our wives deserve better. Our churches deserve better. Because we've got gas in our tank yet, don't we? We've got the ability to do better if we cry out to God and ask Him for that change, that necessary change. When I get to heaven someday, I want to know that I did everything I could. I want to know that I didn't hold anything back. Amen? You all feel that way? Any of you guys feel that way? A few of you guys? All right. I know for a fact that the guys that went on that trip last week, that conference, want change. I know that you guys want change. I know that you guys want to be better husbands, that you guys want to be better fathers, that you guys want to be better Christians. And sometimes this is the only reason. It's because we're afraid to just let it all happen, to let it all get out there, to just go all in. Because we're not sure sometimes what the result's going to be. We need a little background music. Somebody pull you up here. Thank you, Krista. We have to be willing to let it all out, just like Jabez did, to just go for it. Amen? And so, I know we're here to celebrate Brinley's dedication. And I just want to wrap things up this morning just by asking you guys, all right? So men, all right, men, how many of you guys still want that change to happen in your lives? How many of you guys still want God to do something in you and through you? How many of you guys want to become blessed so that you can become a blessing? A blessing to your wives, a blessing to your families, a blessing to your job, to the employers or your coworkers. How many of you guys want to be a blessing? Ladies, how many of you guys want to be a blessing? How many of you guys want to see that kind of change in your life that can only be explained by God? That can only be explained by the hand of God in your lives. How many of you guys want to see that? How many of you guys want to be a better wife or a better mother? How many of you guys want to see that in your lives? If you guys are young adults, how many of you guys want to be the best son or daughter that you can be, the best friend that you can be, the best young Christian that you can be? And so what I'm going to ask you to do, I'm just going to ask you to stand. If you guys want to see that kind of change in your life, where it is only explained because God is there with you. See, this Christian life isn't a life of mediocrity. Becoming a Christian is not becoming mediocre. It's not giving up who you are, but it's about having life and having life abundantly. And so, Lord Jesus Christ, as we stand before you, Lord God, and as you see our hearts and our minds, I pray and ask, O Lord Jesus Christ, that you would touch each life, that you touch each man that you would touch each woman, each young adult, Lord God, even the children, Lord God, that have stood before you this morning saying, Lord, we want some change in our lives, Lord God, that you would just reach your hand down upon us, that you would bless us, Lord, that you would increase the influence that we have, that you would make us stand out in the crowd. And Lord, let it not be a flash in the pan. Let it not be a firework that burns out quickly, Lord Jesus Christ, and then it's gone. But let it, Lord Jesus, be everlasting. Let it be everlasting, Lord Jesus Christ. Let it be an everlasting change, Lord Jesus, that you enact inside of us. And help us to release ourselves to the results. Help us, Lord Jesus Christ, to trust in you, to trust in Jesus, because he is the author and the perfecter of our faith. He is the one who is with us always. He is the one that will never leave us or forsake us. He is the one who sustains us, who fills us with his Spirit. And so, Lord Jesus Christ, we cry out to you this morning. We ask, O Lord Jesus Christ, for you to place your hand upon us, that you would sustain us. As we go forth from here, Lord Jesus Christ, may your foundation be sure. May you place our feet on that solid rock. If there's anyone here this morning who doesn't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never asked him to come into your life and initiate that change, just ask that you would raise your hand. That you just raise your hand if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're ready. And you're ready for that. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you see our hearts and that you are willing, you are so willing to come down and help us, so willing that you sent your Son. God is so willing to help us. God is so willing and ready when we are willing to ask, that he sent his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then he sent the Holy Spirit to continue that change, to continue to draw us closer and closer and closer to him. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray that the Holy Spirit would just come down right now, and that the Holy Spirit would just seal this word in our hearts, that he would just seal this idea and this understanding of changing our destinies, of making us a blessing and giving us the strength to walk it out, the strength to persevere. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for all that you have done for us and all that you will do as we surrender our lives to you, Lord. Thank you for everyone that is gathered here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.